Meet Joe Investor. He's always on the wrong side of the market. Last year, Joe Investor was shorting stocks when he should have been long. And the year before that, he was parked in cash when he should have been invested in bonds. Are you always on the wrong side of the market just like Joe? The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com will help you to succeed. Join today and get a $100 gift by using promo code JOE100. Go to ETFGuide.com to get started and promise yourself to never ever be on the wrong side of the market.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. It's time for us to get started. Coming up on today's show, the president unveils his latest retirement savings program. It's called MyRA or MYRA. We're going to talk about that. Also coming up, the January barometer is flashing a red flag. And that's because U.S. stocks ended the month of January in negative territory. S&P 500 now down 3.5% thus far in 2014. Does that spell trouble for the stock market for the rest of the year? We'll get you caught up on that. Also coming up, your calls, your emails. We don't have any guests planned for today's show, so that means more time for you, more time for me to talk about any ticker symbols, any particular investment themes, financial questions that you'd like to cover. And the number, this is a live program, 877-711-5611. Give us your first name along with your city. You can also tweet the show live. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you want to email the program, ron@indexshow.com. So let's take a look at what happened this past week in stocks. Really, it was another negative week. We saw a couple of companies really get pounded. One of them was Apple. And I got to give a kudos to my colleague, Chad Carnes, who runs the technical forecast at ETFGuide.com. He told me 2 weeks ago that Apple was poised for a fall and that the play on Apple's stock would be to short Apple. Now, this was 2 weeks ago, and I posted his video at ETFGuide's YouTube channel saying this exact same thing, and it's time-stamped on January 14th, a whole 2 weeks before Apple stock got clobbered. 2 weeks before, he was saying to short Apple. And I got to say, I thought he was a madman. I mean, how could he possibly say, I mean, it's almost sacrilege to be saying you should short, you should go opposite one of the greatest companies of our generation in the technology space. And yet Apple's results disappointed Wall Street, and that's what happened. The stock was clobbered this past week, falling almost 10% and closing around $500 a share. So is more downside ahead for Apple? Well, probably. I mean, this is not a good sign. It did dip briefly below 500, by the way. It got as low as $493 a share. But it's still a great company. We're not denying that. I mean, they've got great products. And the point here, though, is that the Wall Street had expectations which were far, far in excess of where the stock's price should have been, and that's why it got pummeled. So S&P 500 and the ETF that follows that, ticker symbol SPY, now down 3.5% since the beginning of the year. We also see gold holding up quite well, ticker symbol GLD, up 3.4%. And that has been something we've talked about on the show, this reversal in gold prices, which has been a great trade, a great setup, especially if you got in when we got in at the end of 2013, when overly bearish sentiment, overly negative sentiment towards gold was peaking. That's the time you buy assets on sale. That's the time you buy assets, is when nobody else wants them. When people think that they've been left for dead and they're never going to go up as they did with gold and gold miners at the end of 2013, that's when we got in. We still have long positions in ETF guides, weekly picks, and technical forecast on gold along with gold miners, both of those trades up quite handsomely. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. We're here. Please join us. I want to talk a little bit about the housing market real quick. U.S. home prices increased 13.7% in November from a year earlier. Now, this is the latest data available from the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index. Of 20 major American cities, prices have now returned to levels last seen in mid-2004. So we're back to where we were 10 years ago. So that's where we're at. Now, on a positive note, one of the things that we can say that has been positive for the housing market has been interest rates that have been falling as of late. Now, we danced with 3% in late 2013 on the 10-year yield. And I said that that would be a problem for the housing market, that it would be an issue for home prices and just the housing market, applications and so forth. But we have seen the 10-year yield now fall back to around 2.6%. And so that is good. If interest rates can stay the same or decline a little bit more, we may see some upside still ahead in home prices. Some of the, by the way, some of the interest rate sensitive sectors that are very closely influenced by moves in interest rates have been doing quite well. Two sectors come to mind. The first one is REITs, also known as real estate investment trusts, and the Vanguard U.S. REIT, ticker symbol VNQ, ahead 4.3% since the beginning of the year. Another rate-sensitive sector, utilities, XLU, that's the utility sector spider. XLU used a ticker symbol ahead by 3%. That, by the way, is also XLU, the best-performing sector year-to-date within the S&P 500. So utilities are leading. That's also a defensive sector, by the way. So it shows you how the mood set, the mindset, the sentiment of the stock market has changed dramatically from just a month ago. It's become more of a defensive type of mentality or modus operandi. And that very much explains also how sentiment in markets can change very, very quickly. 877-711-5611 is a number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. We're here. If you want to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, investment theme, I am game. Want to tell you a little bit more about the President Obama's unveiling of this program he calls MIRA. And basically, it's a new type of retirement savings plan that he has proposed. It's going to be set up like a Roth IRA, but it's similar to a savings bond. And like a savings bond, it's going to be backed by the U.S. government. So people will contribute after-tax dollars. It could take as little as $25 to open an account, and then contributions could be as low as $5. Contributions could be withdrawn tax-free at any time. That's nice. There's no fees. That's nice. The retirement savings account will be offered through employers via payroll deductions. And the target savers for the MIRA program that the president has proposed are people who work but don't have access to a 401k plan. Also, the income limit, only households earning up to $191,000 a year will be eligible to establish an account. Now, this MIRA program is going to be offered initially as a pilot program. So they're going to see how it takes off in that regard. But for me, this is another futile attempt to help people save more money for retirement. And I'm going to explain to you what I think about MYRA. I have some very, very negative views about this, and I'm going to explain to you why. So stay tuned for that. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLeggi, 877-711-5611. We're here, and I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLeggi.
Okay, so here's my take on President Obama's MyRA plan, which is intended to help Americans save more money for retirement. And do we really need another retirement savings plan in this country? We've got plenty already. We've got traditional IRAs. We've got Roth IRAs. We've got 401k plans. I mean, we've got plenty of retirement saving plans. This is just another futile attempt to help people have more money at retirement. The real problem, and there's several, is that American household income has been stagnant the past 19 years, ladies and gentlemen. It's been stuck. Real median household income in the United States at $51,000 the past 19 years. People need to start making more money before they can save more money, Mr. President. Problem number two is that MyRA is of no benefit to the millions of jobless Americans. So stop preaching to the public that they need to save more money when they don't even have a damn job in the first place. People need to have a job before they can start to save. And by the way, the nationwide jobless rate, as of the latest figures, is still double digits. It's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, around 13%, 13.5%, somewhere in that vicinity. But if we add another demographic that they don't count, the self-employed, unemployed worker, if we add them to the mix, we're looking at nationwide unemployment somewhere in the range of 15, 16%. So MyRA is of no benefit to the millions of jobless Americans because they have no money to contribute. Problem number three is that MyRA, that money, is being funneled into U.S. treasuries, which will someday become a disaster when the U.S. treasury market finally crashes. And will it crash? Well, if politicians have over-leveraged America's balance sheet as they have and continue to do, then someday no one's going to want to own U.S. paper. So a better alternative from an investment perspective to MyRA and its 100% treasury investment selection menu would be to have a 50-50 stock and bond portfolio. Albeit that's an imperfect solution, but still better than a all U.S. Treasury solution because you're dividing the risk between stocks and bonds. And actually, over the long run, you'll probably have more upside with stocks than you would bonds. Anyway, 877-711-5611. What do you think about MyRA plans? If you have a common sense, math-worthy view, devoid of political propaganda, weigh in. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. At indexshow is my Twitter handle. You can tweet the program live. And all these Larry Fink types, he's the CEO of BlackRock, one of the largest global money managers. He was applauding this plan, this MyRA plan, Larry Fink. All of the Fink types, you know, this is nothing more than a public relations move. They're not doing this because they actually believe a plan like this, this MyRA, is actually going to reverse poverty at retirement. It's not. It's not. First of all, people aren't going to be putting any type of substantial savings in these types of plans. And by the way, isn't it a queer idea how all the experts on poverty are the same people who are career con men, career looters, career thieves, And now all of a sudden they're experts on helping people get out of poverty. It's very odd. 877-711-5611 is a number. We're here, weigh in. Now, taking a look at key financial markets from across the globe, you got U.S. stocks, S&P 500, ticker symbol SPY is the ETF that follows that, down 3.5% since the beginning of the year. And we talked about the January barometer, which basically states, it's a very simple barometer, and it's been quite accurate over the past several decades. In fact, since 1963, the January barometer has had a 88.9 accuracy ratio. So it's been very good, and it basically states, so as the month of January goes for stocks, well, that's how the rest of the year is going to be. So if the stocks are down in January, as they were for this January, well, then the market's going to follow that path and be down for the rest of the year. Now, this has worked out, like I said, almost 89% of the time. But if you take a look at the past couple of years, it has had some misses. Namely, in 2009 and in 2010, stocks were both down for the month of January, but they still ended the year higher. So what does this tell us now that the January barometer is flashing a red flag? Well, it's saying to us that we got to look at other factors. We got to look at other key technical indicators. We can't just take one piece of data and then make assumptions that, well, we need to do this or do that with our money. There's several other things that we're watching at ETF Guide. My colleague, as I said there, Chad Carnes, doing an excellent job with the technical forecast and mainly keeping us abreast of the key levels that have to absolutely hold with the S&P 500. Now, some of the key levels outlined we're going to talk about in a little bit later, but these are some of the things that you need to be aware of. You can't just take the barometer at face value and say, well, it's time to sell stocks because, well, stocks are down. Because we did have some false positives in 2009 and 2010. If you would have just sold stocks because the barometer was down, well, you would have lost money because stocks ended the year higher. But nevertheless, this is a warning sign for equity investors that we've got some rough road ahead. Now, this has been particularly true with emerging market stocks, which if you've been a listener to this program of over the past month, I have been very, very negative about emerging market stocks. And I've been right, by the way. I've been right because I've been telling you that there's only two ways to play emerging market stocks, and that's particularly emphasized. I've emphasized Chinese stocks. I said the only two ways for the prudent investor, and I'm quoting myself, to play Chinese stocks is number one, aggressively short them, or number two, aggressively avoid them. And I've got some time-stamped trades that I want to share with you on today's show that show to you what type of money that you would have made had you listened to that piece of advice, to aggressively short. Of course, aggressively avoid, you would have also made money. Well, you wouldn't have lost money, because if you would have bought Chinese stocks, well, then you would have lost money. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. I also want to explain to you, I got an email about what time-stamped means. So I need to explain that to you, that terminology, time-stamped. So that coming up. We're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, I'm game. 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. Also, we did our monthly income trade for the month of February. Now, we did this last week. We execute once a month a trade that is intended to generate high monthly income. This is for our income mix all ETF portfolio, which over the past year has averaged a yield of 9.8%. 9.8%. Now, you think about that. How does that compare to a money market fund? If you put your money in that, those depressing yields, you're not going to even get 0.5%. in a money market fund. 9.8% is what our average yield has been on the income mix portfolio. If you want to find out what our latest moves are, the exact moves that we've already made, you just go to etfguide.com, click on the Profit Strategy Newsletter, and you can follow us. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. I'll be right back.
Show with Ron DeLegge.
You've heard them on the radio and seen them on TV.
Gold experts promising big profits.
The truth is, gold prices have crashed, and investment demand is down over 50%, according to the World Gold Council.
While gold experts keep promising higher prices, the Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com told its subscribers the gold bubble would pop.
Our gold alert given to subscribers in early 2013 resulted in a 500% gain.
Listening to gold experts would have lost you a boatload of money. Listening to ETFGuide.com would have helped you to profit. Stop listening to gold experts and stop following the crowd. Subscribe to the Profit Strategy Newsletter at etfguide.com and make money.
Our no bull approach is world famous, and what happens next in the gold market will shock the entire globe.
Join today and get a $50 bonus by using promo code SAVE50. We'll tell you what to buy, what to sell, and when to do it. Be ready for the next big move in gold only at etfguide.com.
All right, 877-711-5611, that is the number. We're here, we're live. I guess you have no intelligent conversation to make about the president's proposal of MyRA, a retirement savings program aimed at workers without a 401k plan. I guess you think it's as silly of an idea that I do. But if you do have a common sense, math-worthy view, devoid of all political propaganda, weigh in. 877-711-5611. Give us your first name along with your city. As I said before, the problem is not that people need to save more money for retirement. Well, yeah, that's kind of the problem. But the problem before that is that American household income needs to grow. It's been stagnant for 19 years. It's been stuck at $51,000 since 1995. Before people can save more money, they need to start making more money. What about the people that got no jobs? Well, we're not going to get them to save much money for retirement. We need to get them back in the workforce. We need to get them back working again. So these are the things that face the American worker. The American worker is not going to achieve retirement security from a silly and a shallow financial scheme like MyRA, where they can save $25 a month. You think that's going to help them achieve retirement security? Are you kidding me? The American worker needs a productive work, number one. The American worker needs an after-tax wage that exceeds his or her expenses. That's what they need. If the American worker can get that, they don't need my RA. They can put money in their 401k plan. They can put money in a Roth IRA or in a traditional IRA or in assets that can grow, not U.S. Treasuries. That's a joke. So MyRA, we could pile into U.S. Treasuries just ahead of the crash. That makes total sense. If the American worker can't obtain productive work, well, then he or she needs to stop looking for a job and create one. Invent something that people need. Solve a problem. Roll up your sleeves. Make something that people will buy from you. It's going to require some creativity. So stop looking for a job and create one. Make something. No, it's not too late, by the way, to start something big. Ray Kroc started McDonald's when he was 55 years old. And before that, he was a restaurant equipment salesperson. He knew nothing about running restaurants. And yet he started McDonald's at age 55. See, the biggest barrier, it isn't a tough economic climate. It's yourself. It's yourself. So keep going. Keep going. You will be rewarded. Stay positive. Be creative. Solve a problem. 877-711-5611 is the number. This is the Index Investing Show. We're here. I want to get into an email from a listener at, well, I don't know where he's emailing from. Dear Ron, what do you mean by time-stamped trade? Signed, Steve. Well, this is very simple. Time-stamp is something that is used very often on Twitter, and actually I do use it. Hashtag timestamp basically means the trade recommendation happened on a specific date. There is some accountability attached to it. And in the case of the trade timestamp trades that we make at ETFGuide.com, all of the trade recommendations are timestamped, meaning there's 100% accountability, whether it's a winner or whether it's a loser. And so we can go back. There's a paper trail. There's a record that can be shown, Steve, that these actual recommendations happen on a certain date because they're timestamped. And then we can track what the actual performance is of that timestamp trade. So that's how we do it with the weekly picks at ETFGuide.com. All those trades are timestamped, meaning we've got an exact date, an exact ticker symbol, an exact price, and we can track the performance of that trade. Furthermore, we can track the percentage of winners versus losers. That's called accountability. Now, if you've got a trading guru, if you've got a newsletter, if you've got a market timer or a financial advisor, or anyone says to you, well, I batted 65% last year, or I had an average return of 70% last year, which outperformed the S&P 500. Your next question to them will be, can you show me those time-stamped trade recommendations, Mr. or Mrs. Professional Investor, Mr. or Mrs. Professional Guru, or Mr. or Mrs. Market Timer? Show me those time-stamped trade recommendations. I want to see them. And you know what will happen? You'll never hear from them again, because that's how these snakes operate. These snakes operate without any accountability whatsoever. See, they blab their mouths about, well, I got this return and I got that return, and look at, you know, I got 1,000% return here and there. But none of their recommendations are time-stamped. And therefore, there's no accountability. The trades never happen. It's stuff that they're inventing. So this is what you need to be avoiding. Are these types of snakes that want to take your money and charge you a subscription fee, but none of these trade recommendations are time-stamped whatsoever. So with ETF Guide, our weekly picks are time-stamped. We can show you the reports. We'll be happy to send them to you. And as I indicated to you, 70% of our weekly picks in 2013 were winners. And our biggest gainer was a 525% home run. And I'd love to send you that report, the one with the 525% home run. Actually, that wasn't a home run. That was a grand slam. I'll be happy to send that to you. Ron@indexshow.com is my email address. @indexshow is my Twitter handle. Our call-in line, 877-711-5611, that is the number. Were any of our listeners holding Apple's stock? Apple this past week got clobbered, falling almost 10% in value. Apple now trading around $500 a share. We saw some other companies also get hit. Amazon.com was another stock that got clobbered. Any listeners holding any of those stocks? Now, these two companies are key components of major indexes and ETFs. Apple, a major component of the technology sector spider ETF, that's XLK is the ticker symbol. Technology stocks on a year-to-date basis down around 2.5%, and not doing very well so far, but still a little bit better than the broader S&P 500, which is down about 3.5%. And so we're seeing a pickup in volatility. The VIX, which measures stock market fear, also picking up. The VIX has been left for dead for pretty much 2013, the VIX did have a couple of spikes here and there, but overall the VIX didn't really do much. But over the past month, ladies and gentlemen, we have seen stock market volatility really, really pick up. And the VIX, which was spent most of the month at around 12 and 13, has now surged to 18 in that range. So will the VIX be able to get above 20? Now, its 52-week range, or 52-week high, I should say, is 21.91. So we're getting close to the VIX hitting a 52-week high. Will we get to there? Will we pass that? That remains to be seen. But actually, I'd say this is a good thing. Depressed stock market volatility worries me because it's a sign of complacency. It's a sign of a lack of fear in the market. And actually, we need more fear in this market. There's not enough of it. It's healthy. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. If you'd like to join us, we're here. 877-711-5611 at Index Show is my Twitter handle. More when we return. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
This is the Index Investing Show. Welcome back from the break. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're here every week at this same hour. Now, if you ever miss our regular radio broadcast, you can pick up our free podcast. It's available at iTunes along with Stitcher, and it's also available on our YouTube account. Last week, we had an outstanding guest. He was from a company called Wallach Beth. They do institutional trading of stocks and ETFs. Andy McGorman, managing director, and he joined us. We talked about the ins and outs of how to trade ETFs, in particular, how to correctly label your orders. Should they be market orders? Should they be limit orders? Should they be stop-loss orders? What should they be when you're entering in your orders? And we discussed and covered that. And that was a very important broadcast. If you missed it, it's now available again on our podcast. And I encourage you to listen to it because it will help you to execute better trades that are more accurate and more in line with your financial goals. Also, coming up on next week's broadcast, Dan Dolan, Director of Wealth Management Strategies at the Sector Spiders, will be joining us. We'll get a rundown of what's going on with the Sector Spider ETFs, the largest sector ETFs in the world. And they, by the way, just lowered annual expense ratios. They went down from 18 basis points or 0.18% to 0.16%. Outstanding. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, low expense ratios are good for you. And this is especially true because, well, you get to keep more of your gains when they happen. And less of that is shared with the fund company when you've got low expense ratios. So this is a good thing. This is also something that I've talked about on the broadcast often, is the necessity of the individual investor who's got all odds stacked against him to align his money, to align his assets with shareholder-friendly companies. And when you see companies like the Select Sector Spider ETFs lowering expense ratios consistently, not just 1 year and then they don't do it ever again. They've done this. This is a consistent pattern. This is a shareholder-friendly type of company. And when you see this type of lowering of expenses, that's who you want to align your money with. 877-711-5611 is the number. This is the Index Investing Show. We're here. So the Super Bowl indicator, which has been very accurate, it was first discovered in the 1970s by a sports writer by the name of Len Coppett, and it's a very simple indicator. If an original NFL franchise wins the Super Bowl, it is bullish for the stock market. Now, if a pre-merger team from the AFL, that's the old name, the American Football League, or an expansion franchise wins the game, then it's bearish for the stock market. So what about this time around? Well, since 1967, the average return for the S&P 500 has been a gain of 8.33% and positive for three quarters of the time. These stats improve dramatically when an NFL team wins, but become much worse if they don't. So now, in this case, this year it's different. The Super Bowl indicator is telling us that this could be a lose-lose situation for the stock market. You see, the Seattle Seahawks were a new expansion franchise that didn't come into the league until 1976, well after the AFL-NFL merger. Now, the Denver Broncos, of course, have always been well known as an AFL franchise. So the average return for the S&P 500 under circumstances like this, where an original NFL team does not win the Super Bowl, is down 1.3%. So there you have it. That's your Super Bowl indicator. The stock market is doomed. No. Well, according to this indicator, will be down at least 1.3%. That's based on history, but we don't know if it'll repeat. But nevertheless, this is just one of those other myriad of other details that we try to give you just to add some color about what could happen yet for stocks. And it's not something we make any real financial decisions upon. At least I don't. Hopefully you don't. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is a live program. We're here. We talked a little bit earlier in the show about the need to generate high income and why, you know, depressed interest rates as they are aren't going to really do you much good, especially if you're investing in low-yielding U.S. treasuries. We got the 10-year yield on the U.S. treasuries now at 2.6%, 2.67%, and rates have been trending down again. Late last year, they were trending up, and I think that dynamic of higher rates is still in place, but even the fact that rates have gone up, it's still, in terms of interest rates and generating income on your assets, on your investments, people are still pressed for being able to generate more income. Now, we talk about some of the higher yielding industry sectors and places within the market. For example, REITs, ticker symbol VNQ, along with the utilities, XLU. Both of these areas are doing pretty good this year, but also paying dividend yields above 3%. And that's a lot better than what you get in a U.S. Treasury 10-year bond. Furthermore, you also have some upside because if companies increase earnings, if growth rates are able to remain stable or slightly increase, well, then that should also result in a capital gain. And so you've got that potential, which you almost never have with bonds. So these are things that you have to plan for. And if you're going to make more income, well, then it requires some exercise. It requires some work, taking a look at your portfolio, eliminating some of these areas that aren't really generating income for you. Perfect example would be assets like gold. If you're sitting on a lot of assets like gold and silver, physical bullion, just sitting there, they don't generate any sort of income whatsoever. And I don't understand why retirees whose main goal is generating high income have 20, 30, 40% of their portfolio invested in bullion, which generates no income. It's ridiculous. It's asinine. And it's no way to manage your portfolio. So use some common sense. Use some logic. And if you need to have more income, well, then you need to focus on areas of the market where you can get that. One of the things that we do at ETFGuide.com is our monthly income trades. And we just did our February income trade for the income mix portfolio. We generated around $700 for the month of February. And this is a monthly trade. We have a very simply designed portfolio of just two or three ETFs in different asset classes. So we own SPY. We own some REITs, VNQ, and we also own GLD. And these particular ETFs we're able to generate income on by selling covered calls. And if you want to learn more about selling covered calls, I did get actually a note asking me about books to read on how to trade options, how to sell covered calls. The best place that I have found that's a free source is the Options Industry Council. And so if you just do a search on the Options Industry Council, they have an excellent website and they've got free courses. And we'll also send out a link on our Twitter account so that you can learn how to sell covered calls. It is an effective strategy and it does work in conjunction with your dividends. So you can collect your dividends and then you can also collect your income from your covered calls. When you combine both sources of income, it's a great, great strategy. It's a high-powered arsenal for boosting your monthly cash flow. And I know that's what many of you need. So if you want to follow, again, our income mix portfolio, just go to etfguide.com and check out the Profit Strategy newsletter. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Coming up on next week's broadcast, Dan Dolan of the Selector Sector Spiders will be joining me. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.